Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 4th of February, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr for the usual reasons. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Friday, everyone. We are here again.
We made it. And I say the usual reasons because it's Security Friday, and that's the thing we do. And so today we're going to, I think we're going to go back to the pairing, the alcohol pairing recommendations we were making before. For this one, just a glass of the house wine. It's not too bad. It's actually kind of good news. Mm-hmm. There's another VPN in town.
There is. So Google announced yesterday, I think it was, they are rolling out their VPN to iOS devices. And yes, Google does have a VPN now. Now they say, similar to Android, the VPN will be available to Google One members on premium plans. If you're paying for 2 terabytes or more, then you are able to use this Google VPN. Okay. It says members can share their plan and the VPN with up to 5 family members at no extra cost. So everyone can use the VPN.
Okay. And they do have, it says that they have certification from the Internet of Secure Things. And the client libraries are open source. So if anybody, they're out there for everyone to see in case there's some sort of security flaw or something, presumably. Mm-hmm. They've had independent audits on this. So, and as you mentioned, you have to be a paying customer. That's why most of this is good news. Because if you're paying, then it means like at least the P in VPN might actually be true, as opposed to the normal reasons. Like, Google gives you Gmail for free, but only if only because they get to read all your mail, basically. So,
they also don't mention whether they're logging or no logging, which is the thing to look out for a VPN.
Yes.
So in my opinion, if you want to use a VPN for privacy reasons, you made me not want to use anything by Google. But if it's just, you want to check your bank account on public Wi-Fi to make sure your connection is secure, then Google VPN is fine.
Yeah. Any place that is logging may not necessarily tell you, but the places that don't always make sure to point it out. So that means if you are using that service and somebody goes to that service and says, we found out Andrew was using this VPN and we want all your records so that we can see what he was up to, there are places that actively make sure they don't have that information so nobody can get it from them. So, and the places that have that practice do make it abundantly clear on their website. So if it's a thing that you want to make sure is 100% private, then that's the thing you want to look for. So thank you for the bonus practical tip today, Andrew.
Yeah.
And the Google One app is available in the App Store. So if you're a paid customer if you're paying for storage from Google, then that's an option that's available to you. We're going to move on to the regular, the sadly regular feature this week in data breaches. Although today it's just a data leak, and not great, but not as bad as it could be. I think we can.
So maybe safely 2 shots.
Yeah. Maybe this is your Boilermaker. The beer drop the shot in it.
Go.
Not the best of news, but also by far not the worst decision you could make. So put us pretty firmly in Boilermaker territory. Tell us about the data leak, Andrew.
Yeah, so that is mainly because this company is Civicom. They service other businesses. They're a B2B business, so their clients are other companies. So it's probably not something that will affect people over here on this side. But it's still bad news. So they have had a data leak. It was found by the website Planet security team. They say over 100,000 files were included in the leak for a total of over 8 terabytes. So they say Civicom specializes in online video conferencing. And the files included audio and video files of private customer meetings. Now, as I wrote, as is typical of these kind of data leaks, it resulted in a misconfigured AWS S3 bucket, as opposed to a data breach where hackers would be actively trying to break into their system. Mm-hmm. So they say 4 separate data sets were exposed: videos of meetings, clipped highlights, audio recordings, and audio transcripts, which is not good because they were able to share blurred out screenshots, of course, but screenshots of these people having these business meetings. Mm-hmm. And as they say, because Civicom serves other companies, they say the danger is that these meetings could include sensitive company data, intellectual property, things like trade secrets.
Yeah. Given the amount of stuff that's moved online, you know, by necessity in the last couple of years, it's possible that a lot of these meetings are things that would otherwise not have been a recorded session that have ended up being a recorded session. So there's a whole lot more that sort of ended up, you know, in Zoom, in Teams, on Skype, on WebEx, that sort of thing. And this is the same sort of service like that. And so hopefully, like, if this doesn't sound familiar to you, then it's probably not a thing you're going to have to worry about. Which is part of why it's not, you know, again, not the worst of the leaks that we have talked about. But the other good news about it, if that can be said, is that it is a leak, which means it was just sort of unintentionally public. It's not that somebody set out to go get it and then weaponize the data.
Yeah. So, you know, with that kind of leak, you don't really know if someone, you know, did a drive-by and accidentally stumbled upon it or not. So that's kind of the danger of it. You just don't know.
The good news and the bad news is that at least, like, this wasn't discovered because somebody did something untoward with the data. You know, and Website Planet, I think, pointed that out. Like, they don't know who else got a hold of this aside from them. But we found out about it from sort of white hat folks instead of, because it all showed up on the dark web. So we don't have to worry about it so much. So that's sort of like, again, you know, there are a lot of things that make this not the worst news. It's still not the best, but at least it's not, you know, the absolute worst. So take what you can get, right? So so we will go with that. We have another couple of security tidbits to talk about, but first I want to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week, who is Thesis. So if you are right now listening to us because you are procrastinating on getting something else done, which is a thing that happens, or if you're just having trouble, you know, if you've read all the GTD books and you can't get things done, or maybe you just have a hard time getting things started, Thesis is here to help. Thesis makes supplement formulas based on nootropics, which are natural and super powerful ingredients. You go online and take a quiz, and then Thesis will recommend the nootropic formula that's right for you. I've tried it, and it makes things a lot easier, particularly the getting started, which is sometimes my hurdle. And over 60,000 other people have also used Thesis for better results, and now you can too. Right now, Thesis is offering my listeners 10% off the first starter kit when you visit TakeThesis.com/TDO. You just go to TakeThesis.com/TDO, take the quiz, discover your unique nootropic combination, and you can save 10% on that first starter kit. That's TakeThesis.com/TDO. Make sure to use that URL so let them know I sent you. And I'd like to thank Thesis for sponsoring the show today. Now, we have a couple of other things to talk about here. The first is that we have a shiny new bug bounty program.
Yes, so this is good news as opposed to the other one.
So we'll make this a tropical drink with an umbrella in it.
Ooh, I like that.
Fun, brightly colored. It'll be great. Yeah.
And don't forget the umbrella in it.
The umbrella is crucial. Yes.
Yeah. So Intel has a bug bounty program. I don't know how long they've had it, but it's already a thing. This news is that they are expanding the program a little bit. So this is called Project Circuit Breaker. This will host various types of special events to focus on specifically new platforms and technologies. And it also provides opportunities to get hands-on collaboration with Intel engineers. They say their first event is called Caping with Tigers. It's already been active since
which
December.
Sounds like a really interesting and yet terrifying thing.
Yeah.
Which is fair. So, yeah.
Yep. So that's going to end in May. They say this is a group of 20 researchers who receive systems with Intel Core i7 processors, formerly Tiger Lake. So that's where the tiger comes from, I assume.
Yeah.
Now, as I kind of I was trying to figure out, maybe this could also include eventually trying to look for bugs in Intel Macs, older Intel Macs. Mm-hmm. But they say, it says Tiger Lake processors were first introduced in 2020.
Yeah.
And that was also when the first M1 Mac was released. So I don't think that there is a Tiger Lake Mac, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't think there is either. And part of, mostly because I think this came out late enough in 2020 that the ones that Apple was selling that are, because this is a Core i7 processor, and the Core i7 processors that Apple is selling, I do not believe are Tiger Lake. I think they're the generation before Tiger Lake, whose name escapes me at the moment, but I don't think it's them. And but the nice thing about this is that I like that they're opening it up and trying to kind of get more people interested in, you know, security research and that sort of thing, and mm-hmm. and helping to make public some of those vulnerabilities and then hopefully get them, you know, fixed easily. And so I'm interested to see if this ends up also, you know, like you said, because the earlier iterations of the Core i7 processors, all the other lakes that they have, like all of those lakes, a lot of those, pre-Tiger Lake anyway, are processors you can find in Macs all over the place. So hopefully, if they do this, that it, you know, if they continue, like you said, there may be something interesting to find there, and hopefully it's the kind of thing where they find it and, you know, it turns out it's already been fixed or at least routed around in some fashion by mm-hmm. macOS. So this gets back to what we always tell you about making sure you update your operating system.
Yes. So,
yeah, but very cool, and I'm glad that Intel's taken that to the next step and opened it up for more people. So unfortunately, this last one is going to be, I think we're going to just skip ahead to moonshine. Like, this isn't something you bought at the liquor store. You have a friend that knows a guy, and it like comes in a mason jar with like a masking tape label. Like, uh-huh. and you'll find out why. I hope you're sitting down. You'll find out why that is in a minute. But our last story might sound familiar, and then you will figure out why it sounds familiar. So go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, okay. So Jeff wrote this up for us, and it sounds like the original source was Reuters. So a subject that we have definitely talked about on the show before is Pegasus. This is a piece of spyware that comes from NSO Group. They're a surveillance firm based in Israel. This targets journalists, activists, people the government doesn't like, I think.
Pretty much, yeah. If we've decided we don't like what you have to say, then let's get some Pegasus on there. Yeah.
Yeah. And the danger is that it's known as zero click. So they text you this infected file, and you don't even know it's infected, but suddenly everything on your phone can be collected by them.
So and we always talk about the reason this sounds like something we've talked about is because we talked about the thing that makes it so scary is there's no, I got a weird looking email that said it was Andrew and it told me to click a link and I clicked the link and now everything on my computer is acting weird. No, you don't have to do anything for this one to be installed and functional and doing the thing that it's supposed to be doing. And that's what makes it scary and, way more concerning than just, you know, there's a government that's mad at a journalist or something. Like, this is next level. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the bad news is that the iPhone software flaw that Pegasus used, which has already been patched, by the way, apparently there was a second surveillance company that was targeting that same flaw. This is called Quadream. I think it's also in Israel. And it means there could be potentially a second Pegasus out there that no one knows about.
Wonderful.
It says, I know. So it's they use similar hacking techniques to break into the iPhone. It's a similar or the same zero-click method, which can, you have no warning, like we were saying. According to Reuters, their research found that both exploits are similar. Because both strike at the same vulnerabilities hidden within iMessage. And both hacks use the same basic approach to inject this malicious spyware onto the devices, according to three sources they talked to about the software. Now, like I said, it's been patched. So, like we said, make sure that your operating systems are up to date. And if they are, you don't have to worry about either of these Pegasi.
Again, very alarming. Shouldn't have come back. This is very much, we killed the serial killer and now, you know, the movie's over and everything's great. No. this is kind of what this feels like when we were talking about it before. Was like, oh no, this is bad. So
you got the serial killer in the attic, but now there's also one in the basement.
Surprise! Not great. Which is why we were recommending Moonshine. Hopefully, you have not done something to get a governmental body's attention, so that maybe this won't be on your phone. I will point out that we do have the instructions to find out if you have it. It's a little bit technical, so if it's a thing that you're concerned about, we do have steps for that, and I will make sure that we get those linked in the show notes, so that you can make sure that you follow those steps if you need them. And then, luckily, I hate to end on a bad note, kind of on a bummer, but that's all we've got for today. That's going to do it. And Andrew, as always, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And as always, have a good weekend, everyone. I know what I'll be doing.
Does it involve moonshine and running a utility on your phone to make sure that you don't have Pegasus? Separately, maybe. Of course, not at the same time.
Yeah, separately.
Okay. Separately, okay. Then that'll be good. So, excellent. I, too, wish everybody a good weekend. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.